Big beautiful brawl over the big beautiful bill, Lee.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to try to get that thing through the Senate. And then Politico reporting there might be some problems in the House.
Yeah, the GOP is looking like the WWE.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I was saying on Friday, this whole idea of, hey, you know what? We're going to leave the 1.4 million illegals on Medicaid, which violates federal law. You cannot be on Medicaid if you're not an American citizen. I don't even know why we're debating this being in the bill. It's absurd. Senate leadership tried to get away with that, and it became clear, I think, that it was a step too far. I mean, you can't force Trump to sign a bill that funds Medicaid for illegals, is which where they were going. So, honestly, it was Lindsey Graham and John Thune. Lindsey Graham is the architect of this budget because he chairs the committee that puts it together. Anyway, they stepped back on that on the weekend, stopped hiding behind the parliamentarian, which was great, and fixed it. So that'll help, okay? But here's the problem. They tried a budget sleight of hand because this thing spends a lot of money. And it added $3.5 trillion to the deficit over a decade. That's a disaster. That, by the way, is above and beyond what Joe Biden was spending. But they changed the accounting, Lee. So now the same bill, they didn't change any spending, just the accounting. Now the same bill is actually going to save us $50 billion. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, save us $50 billion. So that had Kevin Hassett, head of Trump's Economic Council, out there all weekend saying any Republican doesn't vote for this isn't a conservative. They're not fiscally conscious. See, it saves all this money. But look, Maria Bartiromo asked him straight up, look, this is incredible, okay? Because he's speaking for Trump here. He's a surrogate for Trump. Do you realize this bill adds, we will be at $60 trillion in debt in 10 years? $60 trillion in debt. We're at like, what, 35, 36 right now?
Something like that. Just ballparking it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted you to hear Kevin Hassett, who is obviously selling the big, beautiful bill. I wanted you to hear his response to being asked that. But dude, we're going to end up at $60 trillion in debt. Y'all are outspending Joe Biden. Can you explain this? This is what he says.
This 10-year expectation that we're going to have deficits of $2.2 trillion a year and debt of almost $60 trillion by 2035.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score, which means that already the deficit's going down by trillions. The CBO has told us that the tariffs that are already in place, President Trump's tariffs that are already in place, are going to give us extra revenue of $2.8 trillion over 10 years. And the DOGE cuts, people forget about the DOGE cuts. They don't count in the big, beautiful bill because you can't have discretionary spending in a reconciliation package. We've now accumulated DOGE cuts that we can send to the House and the Senate to send back and to give the people their money back of $160 billion. That's almost $2 trillion. Over 10 years. And so this is the biggest deficit reduction, the most fiscally responsible package in the history of American fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And so anybody who claims to speak for fiscal responsibility and opposes this bill and our actions is just pushing partisan propaganda.
Okay, Lee, the key part there, he's a fast talker, you might have missed it. The key part there is this will not do damage to the debt or deficit if...
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score.
Yeah. What if you don't hit 3% growth? He doesn't say. What has been the growth average for the last 20 years? 2.2% growth, not 3. Mm-hmm. So Trump's got to do what no other president has done, and he's got to continue doing it, and he's got to not have an economic downturn, which he may not be able to control in order for this to work.
I also have a question about the tariffs. Aren't the tariffs being used as a negotiating tool?
Yes.
And the tariffs will not always be in place.
No.
In fact, very soon, some of them may go away. In fact, we're already getting reports, obviously, that the president has got some kind of framework for talks about reducing the tariffs on China now. So, I mean, I get what they're saying. There has been revenue coming in from the
yes.
tariffs now.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is a negotiating tool, which we've been told and which was, you know, historically tells us what Trump does with these tariffs, some of that may be going away. So there'll be at least a reduction, if not an elimination, of some of this tariff income.
A lot of it would be going away because the goal is to get, as Hassett himself has explained, get to zero.
But I understand, though, that with that tariff negotiating tool, though, that should allow us to see further economic growth in the country. Yeah. There should be more economic exports or more American exports because of that, and maybe possibly fewer, imports. But we'll see. There's a lot of ifs there.
But I wanted you guys to hear Maria Bartiromo lay it out. We're talking, we'll be at $60 trillion in debt by 2035. And he doesn't deny it, Lee. He just changes the subject.
Well, of course.
So that's, I mean, you could use whatever budget gimmick you want to use. And God bless him, they're going to be out there telling you today, no, it's deficit neutral. It saves $50 billion over a decade. That's not true. The bottom line is, where are we by 2035? We're $60 trillion in debt. Again, we're the one chink in the Trump economic armor, Lee. I mean, we have watched the bond market wobble twice in a very scary way in the last 5 months. And that's because of the, I think, one Achilles heel of the Trump team. It's this spending. And that's not entirely Trump's fault. I think Trump would cut a lot of it if he could. I think that's Congress and just what we had to do to get each vote.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump's sitting around trying to figure out how to spend a bunch of money. But one thing that's important there that Kevin Hassett did say, and that's this, that they're going to bring those DOGE cuts forward in hopefully rescission bills. The OMB director is the only one who said it, Russ Vogt. I love Russ Vogt, but he's saying – he just in one interview dropped 12 rescission that there would be 12 rescission bills. We have the first one before us right now. It hasn't passed the Senate that would cut PBS, NPR and USAID funding, some of it. So let's hope that it's like $9 billion, but it's really just a litmus test. Can Republicans actually cut something?
Which shouldn't be a question.
Yeah.
The answer should be an unequivocal yes, but sadly it's not.
So that's what those are. We've never really seen those, but before. But he wants to put all of them through to gradually cut everything DOGE finds. We still have big balls. He took 3 days off, but now he's back, and they have turned him loose inside Social Security. So he's obviously hunting the rest of the illegals, and Social Security fraud by illegals and other groups of Democrats. He's ferreting it out. He is inside the agency. And all of the legal appeals have been exhausted. So that guy is incredibly talented. I hope he finds a lot of it. He's acting as a special employee. By the way, that's a top 10 story in the country. That Big Ball's name was just an online thing. Anyway, didn't mean to catch on, but it did. So, all right. Coming up on the show, the director of the IAEA, you just had it in the news, Lee, I know, says Iran could theoretically be enriching nuclear material again in 3 months. He is correct. I will tell you why. And then I'm going to tell you what Trump's going to do about it, because you can see all of this is coming. Let me tell you one thing. 12-day war is not going to be in the history books. Why? Because it ain't going to be 12 days. It's not over yet. In fact, it's just beginning. That's up next. You won't hear this anywhere else. It's not over, y'all. When history books record whatever this is we're in with Iran and that Israel's in with Iran, it's not going to be called the 12-day war. I can tell you that. Because it's not over. Not by a long shot. You just heard the head of the IAEA come out and say Iran could easily be back in the uranium enrichment business in a few months. That's not based on the lies, by the way, that the mainstream media was telling last week, which we debunked here. They were lying when they said we didn't put the hurt on Fordo. We did. We destroyed it. And they chose to use one piece of intel that was low confidence intel and lie to their audience, CNN, the New York Times, by not telling them that. Okay, so Fordo destroyed. We're in a good place there. The problem is Pickaxe Mountain. Wait, where? Did we bomb that? No, we didn't. And that's a problem. See, do you remember one of the things that caused this raid with the bombers was that we, and you may not because it was kind of obscure, in the weeks before Trump did it, the IAEA came out with a report that not only had Iran violated every single nuclear agreement they've ever had, they were enriching uranium at secret sites that they would not let the IAEA inspect. So they came out with that, and that was kind of like the cherry on top. Trump decided to blow the whole thing sky high. And he did with three of their facilities. The one everybody's paying attention to is Fordo. That's the one we had to drop the bunker busters on. We didn't get pickaxe. It's an ultra-secure tunnel complex far deeper than Fordo and a perfect place for the missing uranium. This is UK Telegraph. When the director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency asked Iran to explain what was happening underneath Pickaxe Mountain, the reply was short and sharp, none of your business. Rafael Grossi's questions more urgent now after Iran's key enrichment facilities at Fordo and Natanz were targeted by American B-2 stealth jets armed with 30,000-pound bunker-busting bombs. Notice they mentioned Fordo and Natanz. What are they not mentioning? The third one. And this is the truth, folks. And I wish I could say mission accomplished, we're done. These are really brave jet pilots. And all of that is true. But we're not done. And Trump knows it. I'm going to tell you how I know Trump knows in a minute. You got to read between the tea leaves. Well, the U.S. skipped bunker busters in the other site that most people haven't heard about. It's Isfahan. Isfahan scares me the most, always has. Why? Because that's the heart of the Chinese nuclear weapons program. I didn't just misspeak. China runs Iran's nuclear weapons program. Once you understand that, all of this, especially the conflict with Trump, begins to make a lot more sense. When you have China doing the targeting for the Houthis of our naval ships in the Red Sea, that's war. We found that out in April. You throw nuclear fissile material in there? Yeah. You can see the problem. Let me read this to you. The U.S. military didn't bother using its biggest bunker buster bombs on Iran's Isfahan site because they knew it wouldn't work. Nobody's talking about Isfahan. That big fight we got into last week with and the mainstream media, again, was lying. It was over Fordo. Nobody's talking about Isfahan. General Kane told Congress that the uranium stash is buried so deep, even MOPs wouldn't scratch the surface. So instead of breaking in, the Pentagon slapped the roof with tomahawks and called it a day. Meanwhile, Fordo and Natanz got the full B-2 bunker buster treatment. So what is inside Isfahan? Okay, 3,000 scientists work there, many of them not Iranian, but Chinese. And I use the worked past tense. It's obviously been decimated. There were not one, not two, but three Chinese-built reactors, and they're run by China. Because the little secret is Iran is just a proxy for China. Houthis may be a proxy for Iran, but who is Iran a proxy for? It's a proxy for China. What did Trump say? And he's been dropping these hints. This was either yesterday or Saturday. It was one of the two.
On Iran. If Iran...
Are you from Iran?
No, I'm not from Iran. I'm from the UK. But if the intelligence reports conclude that Iran can enrich uranium to a level that concerns you, would you consider bombing the country again?
Sure, without question. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Do you see what happened on Friday? Israel asserted its right to kill Khomeini, the Ayatollah, and wipe out the theocracy, and said the only reason they haven't is they did not have an opportunity during the 12-day war. In other words, they couldn't get to him. And when asked, their minister, whose name is Israel, when Minister Israel was asked, hey, you know, can't Trump call you off? I mean, after all, he said the planes turned around. When he ordered Israel to turn the planes around, they said, we don't take orders from anybody. In other words, we're going to kill him. They have to. They have no choice at this point. There's no choice. I mean, the Iranian parliament has voted not only to go forward with the enrichment, but to speed it up. China, and you know what is scary? And this is the scary part. Our intel, and they've told us this, we didn't see any sign, any signature of nuclear material outside of these facilities, meaning it wasn't moved. Why wasn't it moved? Because it's at the bottom of Isfahan. That's why. And our bunker busters can't get it. So what's the answer? It means you can't kill the king. That's the problem. We've just really tipped over a hornet's nest, which is good. I wanted us to. We needed to. We have to fight this fight. We have no choice. We cannot allow them to have nuclear weapons. We're not done. Trump knows it, and that's why he's saying I'd bomb Iran again. Israel knows it. And at this point, the only way forward may be regime change. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the Israelis, maybe the Mossad can get to the bottom of that facility. Maybe. But they got to get it because we've pissed off the king. And they're coming for us. And they're coming for Iran. And they made that really clear with the fatwa by the Ayatollah over the weekend. And they've tried to kill Trump before. By the way, we had breaking news again over the weekend that Iran, in another assassination plot that heretofore had not been public, tried to kill Pompeo when he was in Europe. This we can't have this. This isn't going to work out. Pompeo, again, was Trump's Secretary of State and the former head of the CIA. I don't like the guy, but you don't get to kill him if you're Iran. You don't get to kill any of us. That's not how this works. So Iran is our true enemy, and Iran is really China. The program is China's. Iran will do as China says, and China will make sure it's funded. And that's assuming the Democrats don't get back in office. They'll make sure it's funded. Folks, we got to clean this out before Trump goes out of office, because the Democrats are going to put it back on steroids. If we don't win that presidency, we are going to be back in Iran's going to be back in a driver's seat. You know what was interesting? It made almost no news, which is surprising. When Israel asserted the right to kill the Ayatollah and said that, you know, hey, we'd have done it, but we haven't caught him yet. Did you hear Trump condemn that? No. Did you hear Trump drop any F-bombs on national television over it? No. Did you hear Trump say they couldn't or shouldn't do it? No. Pay attention to that. It ain't over. You know what's happened, actually? This is fascinating. Honestly, I think the 12-day war was paused to get the big, beautiful bill through. But once the big, beautiful bill goes through, mark my words, Katie, bar the door, it's on. This is not over, not by a long shot. No pun intended. Heck yeah. Oh, gosh. Massive, massive win for Donald Trump on Friday. This happened right after I went off the air, and I was sitting here going, oh, I want to get it on the air. And this was in the birthright citizenship executive order. They did not rule on that, but they did something really surprising. They told the truth. They told the truth. And the ruling was simple. I don't know why the Supreme Court even had to rule on this, but they said the Judiciary Act of 1789 does not grant federal district court judges the ability to do nationwide injunctions. There's about 660 of those judges, and they're spread across 94 districts. And what individual judges had started doing was telling Trump, oh, hey, I don't like that. You can't do that. I'm going to enjoin you for the entire country. You can't do it. Well, they have no ability to do that in the Judiciary Act of 1789, which created the district courts. They're not in the Constitution. So basically, this is the Supreme Court just reading the law and going, no, individual liberal judicial dictators posing as judges cannot just tell Trump he can't do what he wants. It had gotten so bad by last week, so absurd, that Donald Trump sued all 15 Maryland District Court federal judges in one lawsuit. Because instead of ruling on one court case, you got to have a court case for these rulings. In other words, you have to be ruling in a case. They weren't even bothering to have a case anymore. They just said, you know what, this Maryland District Court, you know what, we don't like deportations. We're Democrats. We're running a voter drive, so you can't deport anyone for 48 hours. And there was a bunch of reasons they listed for that. They didn't even have a case. And what this was a trial balloon to see if liberal justices, without a court case, could just order Trump to do stuff. That is not in the Judiciary Act of 1789. It's blatantly unconstitutional. It would create a judicial dictatorship. So that's what it had come to. That's how far the left was going. Well, let's see if maybe we don't even need a court case. Maybe we can just watch what he does on Monday and just tell him he can't do it by Wednesday. And we won't have a court case. We'll just say we're judges. You have to do what we say. Thank God that the Supreme Court put the kibosh on it, because it was getting ridiculous. So here's where it is now. Liberal judicial dictators posing as judges can put an injunction on the president, but it would only count for that district. In other words, 1/94th of the country. That's it. And it would only apply to the people in the lawsuit, not the whole country. Meaning Trump can resume third-party deportations. He can resume doing a lot of the stuff that he was doing, which is fantastic. Now, a lot of you were texting me over the weekend, okay, that now the left's going to move to class action lawsuits to try to stop Trump from doing stuff. And, you know, I welcome them to try. The problem with class action lawsuits is there is a lot of law around them. Like, it's a lot harder to do than some judge just ordering Trump to do something. They'll try to use the excuse of the class action lawsuit to rule and stop Trump from doing stuff, but it's a much harder way forward for left. But they're going to try. But folks, I want you to understand how much this was tyranny. We're so used to tyranny by the left that we don't even blink. But folks, this is something we had never seen before. Here is Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, explaining that on Fox.
What they're saying is that this practice of nationwide injunctions, which we went almost 200 years of American history without having a single one, involves a court not only making a decision that binds the parties before it, but making a decision for the whole nation under circumstances where the court is the non-political branch that doesn't answer to the people whose lives are affected by these rulings.
This ruling seems like it has the potential to maybe break the chains off his agenda a little bit here.
I think that's right. This decision frees the Trump administration from having to, you know, run at the beck and call of every single district judge in the country, of which there are almost 1,000. And so what's going to happen now is that the Trump administration will have to stop its executive orders only in the courts where those judges decide against them, but still be able to pursue their policies in the rest of the country.
So, look, they can get the class action lawsuits going. It's unwieldy. It's big. It takes a long time. Folks, here's how historic this is, okay? This is how ridiculous this was. Remember, we have 94 federal districts.
Liberal justices, judges have used these injunctions to block virtually all of President Trump's policies. To put this in perspective, there are 94 federal judicial districts. Five of those districts throughout this country held 35 of the nationwide injunctions. Think about that. 94 districts and 35 out of the 40 opinions with nationwide injunctions came from five liberal districts in this country. No longer.
And she's right. This had turned into an imperial dictatorship.
Americans are finally getting what they voted for. No longer will we have rogue judges striking down President Trump's policies across the entire nation. No longer. Today, in the 6-3 opinion, Justice Barrett correctly holds that the district court lacks authority to enter nationwide or universal injunctions. These laws.
Yeah, so Pam Bondi goes on to call them emperors because they were. They were acting as emperors. They were just going to see, would we let them do it? Congress was going to let them do it. John Thune, he wasn't going to stop it. You know what's amazing, by the way? Did you see what the Democrats just did in the Senate? They didn't lose a single vote. Democrat leader, he's the minority leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, said, hey, you know what? We're gonna deliver all of our votes against Trump's agenda 100%. Nobody is going to break ranks. And nobody did. Why can't we do that? We could do that. But we won't. We can't. We don't. It's the traitors in our midst that give Democrats all the power. It really is. Anyway, here's Senator Ted Cruz. On this, just what they had done to Trump and how we have never seen this in this country before.
The court said that one single district judge does not have the power to issue a nationwide injunction, a so-called universal injunction. This had been the preferred tool of the left to wage lawfare against President Trump. We've seen in the first 5 months of Trump's second term, more nationwide injunctions entered against the president by single district judges than we saw in the entire 20th century. We've seen more in the last 5 months.
In the entire 20th century. Why? Because you would have been embarrassed to do this before. Now they've got the excuse, well, we have to fight Trump Hitler. No judge would do this. Everybody knows you can't do this. They would have looked ridiculous at the wine and cheese parties. And judges, back when they were honest, they didn't want to be overturned. It was embarrassing. If the Supreme Court had to overturn you, it was embarrassing. It meant you didn't do legal stuff very well. Now they don't care. They do not care. All their families are plugged into NGOs, making a payola, and it's just whatever. But we stopped it for now. Folks, we are, just a reminder, supposed to be living in a Trumpian wasteland, a post-apocalyptic wasteland right now. Like right now, if you listen to the mainstream media, you are completely confused, okay? Because the Strait of Hormuz is supposed to be blocked. Oil price is supposed to be, you know, $120, $130 a barrel, right? Supposed to go through the roof. Oh, it went down last week. Well, if you remember Trump's tariff rollout, what were we told that month? I read you the headlines. It was reported as fact from Fox Business to CNN Business to CNBC that we were going to have, remember the rollout, Liberation Day, after the rollout of tariffs, and remember the stock market crashed some? We were told that this was going to be the worst month for the stock market in terms of crashing on record since the Great Depression hit. They're going to be the worst. And there's, you cannot argue that. That is facts, real things. Why? Because Trump's tariffs were a disaster. Oh. You mean the Strait of Hormuz is not blocked? We're not in World War III? Okay. Oil prices down. And both markets hit all-time highs last week. Do you know, folks, just marinate in this for a sec. Do you know how crazy they would have treated you if you were on a panel on CNBC or CNN or even Fox Business? If you said in, you know, the week of Liberation Day, when Trump rolled out all those tariffs, if you said, yeah, we'll be at an all-time stock market high by June, ain't no thing. They would have looked at you like you were a mental defective, treated you like one, and then you just wouldn't be invited back. But you'd have been right. We had an all-time high. The folks, this is not supposed to happen because tariffs were going to wreck everything. And then we have our evil Federal Reserve Chairman. I'd like to tell you he's stupid, but I think he's just plumb evil. Who refuses to lower rates and insists Trump's tariffs are going to cause inflation someday, somehow. How's that going? Because remember, during the hysteria of Liberation Day, when, of course, we were on schedule to on track. I mean, I can never forget. I mean, it was right splashed across the top of Drudge. We were going to have the worst month again for the stock market ever since the Great Depression. We just hit all-time highs. So, folks, as I tell you all the time, and I'm not just saying that as part of the Common Sense Retirement Planning commercial, if you are listening to mainstream business media, stop. Don't. They lie. Their purpose is not to help you make better investment decisions or to inform you. It is to help the Democrats by screwing up the economy any way they can. Folks, last week, okay? I look at Kevin Hassett. He did a Maria Bartiromo interview. He's a Trump spokesperson, head of Trump's Economic Council. And he's like, wait a minute, where's the calamity? Where's the tragedy? Where's the destruction? I thought we were on schedule for it.
The big news from the weekend, of course, is peace in the Middle East. But also, Iran, you know, basically didn't have any bullets left. They didn't go in and shut the Straits of Hormuz. They didn't cause oil prices to spike above 100, which was certainly the fear of markets. And so the risk premium, it's a risk-off moment that's really, really rare in American history and a sign of the incredible success of President Trump. And what it means is that oil prices...
Yeah, it's incredible. And don't miss this, okay? And I almost never on a Monday talk about the week that was kind of one of my rules. I move on, so it's a fresh new show. But my gosh, the week we had last week, let's think about it. Ceasefire between Iran and Israel after two of the three nuclear facilities were destroyed. Supreme Court ends the judicial coup by limiting nationwide injunctions. Trump gets NATO to secure 5% of the GDP defense spending for every NATO country. They've all now pledged to put 5% in. I'm so old, I can remember back in 2016 when Trump was running for office and Marco Rubio, who was running against him, mocking him, saying, you know, we can't alienate our allies. Golly, have times changed. Anyway, Rwanda and the Congo have just signed a peace deal. War ended on Trump's watch. Trump receives permission from SCOTUS to send illegals to third-party countries. Again, the S&P 500, NASDAQ hit record highs. We are supposed to be in the depths of the Great Depression by now. If you listen to mainstream media, you shouldn't, especially the business media. Folks, even Cheryl Cassoni was spinning the hysterics. I couldn't listen to her. Come on, it's not going to be that bad. Trump emerges victorious after a Senate attempt to rein in his Iran strikes through a war powers resolution failed. China trade deal has been signed. Okay, it's a framework for a framework, not a final deal, but still they're making progress. Food giants join the growing list, removing artificial dyes from their food products. We were told RFK was crazy, he was delusional. He's not. And the manufacturers know it. That's why they took the artificial dyes out. They know they're poison. Economic experts admit total defeat over Trump's tariffs. One of Trump's, by the way, key tariff critics has admitted he was right. One of the big investment funds, we'll get back into that. Social Security handout saw the largest monthly decline ever after attempts to end waste, fraud, and abuse. So DOGE is actually having an effect. They have been able to cancel those fraudulent accounts. That's massive. Again, the largest monthly decline ever in Social Security handouts. Big Balls has made a return to the Trump administration. He is now embedded inside Social Security administration. He's going to find the rest of it. The Pentagon has been reinstating service members wrongfully discharged for refusing the COVID vaccine. The military recruitment disaster under Biden, worse in 30 years. They couldn't get anybody to join the military. Now people are beating down the doors. Best year in 15. Almost 16 years. The DEI president of the University of Virginia has resigned under pressure from the Trump administration. And I mean, first, that was just last week. I can't wait to see what this week holds.